So today we're going to be talking about God is perfect. God is perfect. And you know, some people take the fact that God is perfect and they use it to condemn themselves. And that's not what God's perfection is meant to even do. His perfection and his perfectness is not to condemn you. It is to lead you, guide you, and encourage you. His being perfect. Well, God is so perfect and I've failed and I can't move and I can't do. Yes, you can. I mean, first of all, let's look at the great fathers of the faith. God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We can just keep going through all these. Rahab. What? I mean, Rahab had a title. They don't just say Rahab in the Bible. What do they say? Rahab the?
Harlot.
Prostitute, hooker, harlot. If there's kids in here, I'm not explaining to you what that is. But she was, and this is actually what's crazy is Jesus even says, that's my family. The people that we would hide, that we wouldn't talk about. If we were writing a book about us, we would erase uncle and aunt so-and-so and crazy, you know, second cousin removed once. We would leave them out of the book of our lives. And Jesus proudly said, Rahab the harlot. And then David, he talks about David, the lineage of David. David saw a woman bathing on a rooftop and then did this. Then he had, you know, he went with what the world would normally do, called her, what a king would do, overuse his power, call her to him, get her pregnant, her husband off fighting for the kingdom of David. So David brings home the husband and says, hey, just want you to spend, you know, time with your wife. And such a dedicated soldier that he refused to go home and stood in front of the castle to protect his king. And so what does David do? I can't make this look like it's his kid now. So now I better send him to the front lines so he can die. Yep. And that's exactly what David did. And the man died. And what does the Bible talk about David? A man after my own heart. Exactly. David failed. Abraham failed. Isaac failed. Jacob failed. Pastor T.L. Sadler failed. But God still uses people. His perfection is not to condemn you in times of failing or making mistakes. It's to show you pick up and move on.
Amen.
And this is what I love. I have failed the Lord. I have let him down. You never were holding him up. It's not God is in the hands of a great and mighty people. It's God's people are in the hands of a great and mighty God. You don't let the Lord down.
Right.
He's the one that holds you up.
That's right.
I think it's funny how people, you know, get all about themselves. If your religion, if your relationship with God is focused on you, it's pretty much not a relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship where it was either focused 100% on you or the other person? It's not a relationship. That is not how relationships work. And that is not how you have a relationship with your Father, your God the Father. Amen? All right, now Job. We're going to go to Job and Jeremiah. These scriptures I've used every time in these series. It says, Job 22 and 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Now, the more you know about God and the more you acquaint yourself with the Lord, the more you understand the Lord, the more good will come to you. It's impossible to know God at a greater level and not have good come to you. It's impossible to know God at a greater level and not have peace come to you. Because when you understand perfect love, and God is perfect love, when you understand perfect love, the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. I didn't realize how much, you know, you hang out with some people that go to other churches. And you'll, I know about you, it's other people, right? When you hang out with people who go to other churches and find out that there's fear in people's heart, it's amazing what Christians who are going to heaven will do motivated out of fear. It's amazing to me how they act. You'll go nuts. Anyway, let's keep going. Jeremiah 9 and 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Not wrong to have wisdom, is it? No, actually the Bible tells us to have it. And if you don't have it, the Bible even says ask and God will give it to you. So we should have wisdom. There's nothing wrong with it, but God says glory not in the wisdom. Neither let mighty men glory in his might. Is it wrong to be strong? If it is, I mean, look at these guns. Oh, wait, never mind. It's not wrong to be healthy, strong, and doing well. You should be. You should keep, pretty good tight control over the body, the temple of God. And don't use that scripture. Exercise profiteth little. Yeah, but it profits. All right, let's keep going. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. It's not wrong to be rich. Just don't glory in it. That's what the Lord's saying. Verse 24. But let him that glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That's the Lord. Well, brother, we can't know and understand the Lord. Are you calling God liar? Because the Word says you can. Well, I've always been told, well, what you was told was wrong. Well, I don't feel. Well, that's why we don't go by what we feel. We go by the Word. And the Bible says, glory in the fact that you understand and know me. That I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now let's turn to Revelation as a church. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 15. We are going to talk about God is perfect. God is perfection. God is holy. Holy. When you say God is holy, you're saying God is perfect. When you say God is a holy God, you're saying God is a perfect God. When we talk about holiness, God can't do anything wrong. It's not in him. It's not in his makeup. It's impossible. He doesn't have what it takes to be unholy or to be wrong. We used this example before with Lewis, but Lewis is backslidden. I'm kidding. His sister says, amen, brother. Preach that. Make sure he listens to the podcast so we can hear this. But we had Lewis stand up, and Lewis is an all guy. He's working out. He's got bigger muscles than Pastor TL, so that's why he's becoming my personal usher. I always liked having people bigger than me. Yes. All right? Oh, no, anyone else? All right. So in all of this, I had Lewis stand up. I said, if Lewis would look at his mom, who has had how many babies? Oh, my goodness. 5 children. There should be a shrine somewhere built in your name. And honor. And how many ladies in this place say, I have had a baby all natural, all natural. Dear Heavenly Father, if that ever happens, you should have an image of gold built for you somewhere. I'm not kidding. When Jesse, can I just tell you this as a side note? When they were talking about, what is your plan, for having a baby? One, to have the child. That's the plan. And they're like, well, do you want to go all natural, bounce on a ball, get in a tub? I mean, they have all, stand by your ankles. I don't know. I mean, there's this crazy stuff that they have out there. And Jesse's like, well, what do you think? I said, well, I have no plans. I mean, this is you, hon. And if they will give you crack, you take crack. I mean, like, whatever. What the baby? I mean, like, the baby will get over it. We'll put the baby in rehab. Just, whatever will kill pain for you. I mean, like, that's insanity. And so she went, well, just play it by ear. I mean, play it by ear, nothing. If it was me, I'm here like, give me some drugs to take home. And on day, when it happens, we'll pop it in. We'll do whatever you have to do. But when I get to the hospital, I want to be high as a kite. I never want to remember this. But that's just me. That's why men don't have babies. That's why we don't have no babies. But if Lewis would look at his mom and be like, I have seen the beautiful glow of my mother. And she carries life on the inside of her. Why can't we do that? And if Lewis wanted to get pregnant, he would never be able to. You know why? He doesn't have the equipment. He doesn't have the ability on the inside of him. God is not holy, which is a double negative, I know. But God is not holy because he chooses to be good. God is not good because he chooses to be good. It is who he is. It is impossible for him to be wrong. It's impossible. He doesn't have the makeup to be wrong. There's nothing in him that can be wrong. Every decision the Lord makes is perfect. It is holy. Every decision, 24 hours in a day, holy. The fact that every tree and every plant bears after its own kind, a holy decision. The fact that man should be with a woman and produce in marriage, that is holy and perfect. Those are the decisions made by God, and they are holy, and they are perfect. They're perfect. Well, and this is it. You might say in my life, I haven't always followed the Lord. Well, thank God you get to now. You get to imitate The Holy One. All right, I can't get off here. Y'all found Revelation chapter yet? Yeah. Revelation 15. I'm staying on target today. You believe that? That's why I don't. Half of you don't believe. You better start believing. You better start. If you want me to get better, you better start quoting. Pastor's on time. Every time. Every time. I think we're going to do good today because I think some of you changed instantly. Revelation 15 and 4. Are you ready for this? Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glory thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, and thy judgments are made manifest. So look at this. It says God thou art holy. You know, when the Bible talks about God, it doesn't say he is a holy God. It says he is the Holy One, the Holy God. God is not a holy God. He is the Holy God. There's nothing about him that can't be holy. Now, let's turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk, those are the white pages in your Bible. You know, some of them are still stuck together. All right. While you're turning to Habakkuk, I want to read this in Exodus chapter 15 and 11. 15 and 11 says, "Who is like thee, glorious in holiness? No one compares to the Lord in his holiness and his perfectness." And so if you've had a past where you say, "I've messed up," well, join the club. And I am the president of this one in this church. President of the club. We've all fell short of the glory of God. Your greatest people that you think, whether Bible, past, alive, dead, in the kingdom of God, we have all made mistakes. And the Bible says there is not one that is holy like the Lord. Doesn't mean that you're not holy. You better be holy. Hello? How many holy people do we have in this place? Would you raise your hand? The rest of you who did not raise your hand, you can repent today and be holy as well. God commands you to be holy, and say that you're holy is not pride. Well, it can't be pride to say something that God told you to be. That's not pride. That's just doing the word. All right, that's good. Let's keep going. That's for another sermon. Where are y'all at? Habakkuk 1 and 13. "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon iniquity." God says he can't even look upon iniquity. You know, I love this because I've had people say, "What all can, you know, like God see?" You know, have you ever heard that? Have you ever wondered if God watched you the entire time that you made a mistake? The Bible says he cannot behold the face of iniquity. And this makes sense. Are you ready? You're like, what? No. This is Bible. Ready? Let's talk about Jesus for a second. Are you ready for Jesus? What happened when Jesus cried out? What did Jesus say? "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." Translated, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God turned his face from Jesus. And not because he couldn't handle watching Jesus die on the cross. Not that his heart was so pulled, he says, "I can't watch my own son die." That was not why God turned his head. Right. The reason he turned his face from Jesus was because Jesus was made sin, who knew no sin. And God says, "I cannot behold the face of iniquity." Right. Now, the good news is God in 3 days turned his face back to his son. And let me tell you something. You might say, "Well, I have been in sin." Good news for you. Jesus can behold your face today. Amen. That's exciting. That is exciting. Now let's look at here. God wants to look upon your face. And the first way that that happens is accepting Jesus as your Savior. That is the first step to, one, walking in holiness. And the first step to God beholding you as his son and daughter. That's good news. John 1. Are you ready? Oh, excuse me. 1 John 1. I'm going to read this to you. "That God is light, and in him is what? No darkness." Now, light refers to holiness, and darkness refers to sin. The God is holy, and there is no sin or wrongness in him. I always think it's amazing when people who don't know God try to tell me about God. I always enjoy that. Sarcastically, I enjoy it. Because I've had newscasters on TV try to tell me about God. You know, I've watched, and I don't like calling him by name, but I almost want to, because he just made me so mad. Just made me so mad. This guy who doesn't claim Jesus as Savior and, you know, does all this stuff, whatever, you know, I ain't getting into his life. But it, and he gets on to, well, let me, and he says, I want to address the Christians. I'm like, oh, dear God, help me in Jesus' name not to go through that TV right now. Do you ever talk to TV? I yell sometimes. I have yelled a couple times embarrassingly at the television. I try to do it when I'm by myself. And he began to tell me, he's like, well, I would like to address the Christians. And he's like, I don't, if I was God, and if I can't see a God that would do this and that and that. And I'm like, you don't know God. You can't see him do anything. Everything that he does is perfect and is holy. And don't give me your opinion of how you feel. You know how you feel affects God? Not at all. God is sovereign. He is holy. He didn't ask you and take your opinion when he created the world and put every star in its place. He's not going to stop the spinning of the world and ask you if you like the Bible. Be like, you know, I wrote this. I'd like your opinion on it. He doesn't ask your opinion of his word. He is holy, and there is no sin or injustice or unfairness in him. Everything he did is fair. I don't feel that's fair. I don't care. I suggest when you're talking to people who say that you don't act this way. I would suggest you be led by the Spirit of God. But in this, God didn't ask mankind if we thought it was fair. Because you know what? What mankind thought was fair 10 years ago, they don't think it's fair today. Right. And they will change in 10 more years what they think is fair and politically correct. Yeah. That's the thing about mankind. We always change, and God stays the same. Right. I'm preaching better than you're listening. You got it? All right. I would like to say that I do have the best congregation in all of Madison. Woo-hoo! Pretty much in all the entire state, I'm pretty positive of that, and probably one of the best in the nation, if not the. Yeah. Y'all are great. You know that, right? Yeah. Whew, I feel like I've done preached myself up. Now, there are two types of holiness I want to talk about today. Two types of holiness. The word, and this is why there is such confusion on the understanding of holiness and grace in the Christian world today. And I think the reason why there's some confusion is that they don't, most people in English-speaking world don't understand that the Greek and the Hebrew have several words for holiness, different words, and different words for grace. And we think it's just one. There's different words for love in the Bible. You understand? Because if you read the Bible and don't understand that there are different words for love, you think Jesus is kind of crazy speaking to his disciples. Hey, do you love me? Well, yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. If you read that, you think, why in the world did God ask, you know, Peter if he loved him so many times? Well, when you read it in the original language, Jesus used the word, hey, do you agape me, which is the love that God has for us. It's unconditional, unchangeable love that God has for his creation. And then Peter responded, Jesus, I ain't kind of down with that. That makes me uncomfortable talking about loving another man like that. I phileo you, which where's the word we get Philadelphia from, which is the city of brotherly love. So Jesus is saying, do you agape me? And Peter is saying, I love you like a brother. And Jesus is saying, that's not enough. Do you love me unconditional? And Peter responded, I love you like a brother. That's not enough, Peter. Do you love me unconditionally? I love you like a brother. Do you love me unconditionally? Yes, Jesus, I love you unconditionally. And so we get confused sometimes because we'll take the same word and it's being, you know, different Greek or Hebrew words, not meaning the same thing. That's why it's important that we are studying the word of God and rightly dividing the word. The Bible tells us to rightly divide the word. So if you can rightly divide it, you can also wrongly divide it. So we must be studiers. And the Bible says study to show thyself approved. And we even take a scripture like that and we mess it up. Study to show thyself approved unto the Lord. Like the Lord has to approve us again. The Lord hasn't approved us again. What do you say? Study to show yourself that you are approved.
Right.
Study so you know you got it. Yeah. That you can face all hell and take over. that nothing shall stop you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Instead of these Christians that run around like the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Everything's going wrong. We're all going to die. There's a movie. I don't know. I just saw a clip of it. And it was not that one. A movie. Don't act like you understand the way this works. There's a movie. And I saw a clip of it. I didn't watch the movie. So I'm hoping if somebody watches the movie, it's an okay movie. But there's a stewardess. And it's the first time she's never flown before. And she becomes a stewardess because she wants to get out of her town. And the plane turns. And she wasn't ready for that. And the plane turned. And she grabs a seat. And she starts to yell, "We're going down! We're all going to die!" And the people start going nuts. And they landed safely, apparently. But I think that is hilarious. I mean, because what would you think if your stewardess yelled out, "We're all going to die?" I would be praying, doing signs of the cross and some other stuff, I'm sure. But in all of this, excuse me, in all of this, there are people running around yelling that we're all going to die that don't understand the word. And the Bible says, "You are approved. Now study and show yourself." Show yourself who you are in the Word. Show yourself who you are to God. So that's important, the reason why we study. And so the reason I believe a lot of people are getting the grace message wrong and holiness wrong is because they're not studying. They're not studying. They're not rightly dividing. If you rightly divide, it's easy. Because you get it wrong if you don't know the Word. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So there's two types of holiness. And the church will talk about it like there's only one. There's more than one type of holiness. Are you ready? So there is the type of holiness that comes from God. You are holy. You have holiness on the inside of you, and it comes from God. Now, in that type of holiness, it is the holiness when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become holy. And our spirit becomes alive and holy. You know, when you're walking around, I don't know if you do zombie movies. I don't watch a whole lot of zombie movies. I can't handle bloods and guts like that. It looks disgusting. I tried, and I'm here like, I can't watch that. So these, you know, you see these zombies walking around. That's the world today. They walk around. What have I seen on TV? What must I be? What must I dress like? Walking around dead to the things of God on the inside of them. And see, the whole world is a zombie. And the thing is, it's backwards. Zombie movies are backwards. You want a real zombie movie, a spiritual zombie movie? Everybody's a zombie. Then they give their life to Jesus. And it is the Christians that overtake the zombies.
Amen.
It's, "I will change you." Okay, anyway. And so the message of God changes and infects a zombie. Right. They become alive and their spirit becomes holy.
Right.
So it is the zombie that is scared of you. Not the other way around. It's not you running from the zombies. It's the zombies running from you. Have you ever found somebody that's offended at your Christianity?
Yes.
It amazes me that they're not really offended at Muslims. They actually feel an uncontrollable desire to appease them. And they have an uncontrollable... You know, schools will have, you know, a session where they tell the kids to go out and learn about a religion other than Christianity. And it is a class assignment in the name of acceptance.
Yeah.
But they never tell them to go study Christianity.
That's right.
Why is that? Because it's the zombies running from Christianity.
Right.
Because Christianity, if it gets on them, it will cause them to become alive. And they can't be zombies walking around anymore. It's the zombies running from the Christians. Okay? So there's two types of holiness. There is the holiness that God gives us when we accept Jesus as a Savior, we become alive. And then, number two, are you ready? This is how you mess up the grace message. Are you ready? There is, number two, a type of holiness that you live before the world. I will explain that because I see looks on your faces. This type of holiness is up to you. Have you ever met someone that was saved on their way to heaven and they didn't really act too holy? Have you ever been that person? We all have. We all have. I remember I've told this story before. I used to work at a bank in Apalachicola, Florida. I was in the Carabel branch, Carabel, Florida. And I was there. I was a teller. And this precious little lady walked in, just cute, strutting her stuff, chewing gum real big, hair jacked to Jesus. You know, it was way up there. And she comes in just happy. And I took over a lady's spot that was before me. I replaced her. She went off on break. And I forgot to switch her name plate that's out front. And her name was Scarlett. And she comes up to me and she says, "Scarlett, you look different." And I realized just as soon as she said that, that I forgot to replace the nameplate. And I told her, I said, a couple surgeries, lift, tuck. I mean, they can do anything these days. And she laughed and thought it was funny. And so she gave me a check to cash. And when she did, I didn't know who she was because I was working in a branch that I wasn't familiar with. And my training always told me, if I don't know who someone is, what am I supposed to ask for? An ID. So I asked for her ID. And let me tell you something. This sweet little lady, dear Lord, she started spitting pea soup. Her head turned completely around, and she went nuts. Her voice, no, that's an exaggeration. Not much. No, it really is. And so she began to cuss like a sailor at me. Oh, yes, this sweet little precious lady began to cuss like a sailor at me and telling me that I'm going to have your blankety-blank job, you blankety-blank, blankety-blank, blankety-blank. And she just kept on. I'm like, dear Lord, no one speaks to me like that. And so she then said, I'm going to go outside again. I got to get in my car. And one of the tellers says, no, I know who you are. It's fine. And I said, okay, I can cash the check. She knows you. She vouches for you, blah, blah, blah. And she said, no, I will go get my blankety blank license. And she walked out and she came up to me and she threw it over my head. And it went down. I said, let me get that for you. And I turned around and picked it up. I cashed her check. And she said, I will have your job. And she said, I want to speak to the president or the manager of the branch. And I told her, I said, he's in a meeting right now. Would you like to sit down and wait? Or would you like me to give him a message? See, I found that comical myself. She said, I will wait. I said, okay, you can wait. So she sat down, and I remember she went to his office. The men's room was right beside his office. So just as soon as she went in, I went to the men's room, and I listened in on the conversation, which is probably morally a little wrong there. But I wanted to hear what my branch manager had to say. And she said, if you don't fire that boy today, I'm taking every dollar that I have in this bank, and I'm moving to another bank. And he got up, he opened his door, and I heard him say to the head teller, says, excuse me, can you come in here? So-and-so is going to be getting all their finances out of our bank today. And she said, what? Now, and she called him by name. She said, now, come on. I've been here for so many years, and you're going to just let me walk out the door? He says, I trained him. That's exactly what he's supposed to do if he doesn't know you. And yes, if it's between firing him and you leaving, you're leaving. She didn't take all her money out of the bank, by the way, just so you know. And so I tell you all that because after it was done, the head teller came over to me and says, I hate to tell you this, but she goes to my church. And she said, don't take it personally. One time the pastor was carrying a DVD player and he tripped and he almost dropped it and she cussed at him. And so this is my point in all this. Her spirit became alive to the things of God. The day she accepted Jesus, the holiness of God came on the inside of her and her spirit became alive. Right. Let me tell you something. The holiness that she was supposed to live before the world, I don't know how she lived all the other days, but that day it was not showing. It was not showing. So your spirit becomes alive, and it is up to you to live that holiness out before mankind. Yes. Something on the inside, working on the outside. Okay, y'all know that song, right? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. The holiness is on the inside. The perfectness of God is on the inside of you, and it should be coming on the outside. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. You're listening pretty well today. Philippians chapter 2. Now, the first holiness is up to God. The second holiness is up to you. Without God doing his part, you could never do your part. Without God giving you that holiness on the inside of you, you could never be holy on your own. It takes God's holiness working in you for you to work out the holiness in you. It's you working out holiness. Philippians 2 and 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. That's good. You know, that's good to have a man of God talk about you like that. You follow the things of God and you've been obedient, not only when I'm around. Because there are some people you can't say that about. Okay, I'll leave that alone. There's some people you can't say that about. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, interesting. The world will use this with a statement like this. You can't judge me. You're right. I cannot judge whether or not you're going to heaven or hell. But let me tell you something. I can call something wrong, wrong.
Exactly.
If something's wrong, I can say it. That's not judgment. That's calling a tree by the fruit it bears. I got really ticked off and had to, this is why I block everybody and don't read anybody's Facebook post. Somebody posted that I followed a video of a minister of a false religion condemning America. And people were jumping on the bandwagon. And this was a pastor from overseas. And jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, look at that, America this, America that, done so horrible. They have no moral judgment. They can't say anything moral about another country. And I wanted to get on there and go off. But I couldn't. Because nothing I could do was in love. But this, I wanted to put on there. You ready? This is what I wanted to put. So, pastor, because I know this pastor. I wanted to put on there. So, pastor, so you can never call doing drugs and being an alcoholic wrong, can you? Because I know your past, I know your testimony, and that's what you used to be.
Wow.
So by your judgment of America, calling something wrong and unmoral, you're never allowed to say an alcoholic, he needs to get his life right, and you're never allowed to tell a drug addict that he needs to get off drugs, because that was your past. And if we're going to hold on and say somebody can't say something because of their past, then let's be pointing fingers at us and say the same thing. America's not perfect. But let me tell you something. America has sent the gospel to more nations than any other nation. America has been there when other nations have had disasters, and we brought more food than any other nation on the face of the earth. Is America perfect? No. Have we made mistakes? Guaranteed we have. Guaranteed we have. I like something that, why does his name slip me? What is his name? England. Not a king. He was the prime minister. Bulldog. Churchill. Thank you. Churchill. I remember seeing a speech of him, and he said, we can always count. With his big old bulldog cheeks. We can always count on America to do what is right. When they have exhausted all other options. And sometimes that's true. Sometimes it's true. And in the case of World War II, it was true. We should have got involved before so many people were slaughtered. But Amen. We were so busy looking after our own self coming in out of a depression that the people didn't have the stomach to face. And so that was a shame. That was a dirty shame. And we don't need to be the police of the world. But I tell you, there are genocides that go on that we should step in and say, "You better. This is not godly. And if you touch them, we will come after you."
Come on.
Can I just say something else? This is me being political, and I'm going to get off of it really quickly here. But I'm going to tell you something. We do not negotiate with terrorists. And if they touch an American soldier or an American citizen, our response should be, we will hunt you down to the ends of the earth, no matter what it costs us. You touch us, you touch one of us, you touch all of us, and our wrath will be against you. And by God, they better live. Because if they don't, it's not going to be just you that suffer. Now, that's just me being me. All right? So let's move on off of political subjects. And you can disagree with me, and that's fine. That's what's awesome. How many people have ever disagreed in this church with something that I have said personally? My wife's hand just shot up. You know, please, it's fine. I want actually all the guests that are here for the first time, I want them to see. Would you raise your hand? And I was like, Bob, you better raise your hand because you told me personally. All right, and so all your hands up. These are people who disagree with something I've said either in the Bible or just personally, but yet know they're in the body of Christ and they still love me. Isn't it amazing and still come to church here? I don't understand when we disagree with someone, we have to cast them out. The world doesn't even do that to people. But the body of Christ seems to do pretty well at it. And so this is it. When it says work out your own salvation, that does not mean I don't need the Bible. I don't need church. I'm going to work out my own salvation. No, this is how you work it out. It goes on the word goes on the inside of you, and you work it out. Have you ever made or baked something? Have you ever had to roll dough before? You put something in it, and you keep on rolling it till it gets through all of it. So that's what you do. You put the word of God in you, and it may not be manifesting all the way. You may be like that old lady at the bank, cussing somebody out all the time over nothing. And what you got to do is say, I love all people, no matter what's going on. Circumstances don't control me. People don't control me. And you put that word on you, and you got to work it out. And sometimes it may be a little lumpy still. You know what you do? You get the handle and you beat the tar out of it. Yeah, keep working the word out. If it's on the inside of you, the holiness that God has placed is on the inside of you, and you keep working it out. It's work. It's not fun. Well, grow up. Work it out. All right? Now, 1 John 3:3. I want to say this before we get there. You go ahead and turn there. You should work the word of God out in the office, in the grocery store, in front of your children, in front of your family. You work the word of God out before your friends, before everyone. 1 John 3:3, and every man that has this hope, what is this hope he's talking about? The return of Jesus Christ. In him purifies himself, even as he is pure. What? What? That if you don't understand God or his word, that'll make you go tilt a little bit. Wait a minute. You're saying here, Lord, that I got to purify myself even as I am pure? Wait, if I'm pure, why do I have to purify myself? Because there's stuff that tries to get in you. And you got to purify yourself. Holiness is on the inside of you. But stuff will try to get in you. Old stuff will try to rise up before you. People will try to push your buttons. Things will try to irritate you. The world will tell you that you're nuts. And you watch enough movies, you believe this is a way of living. You hang out with enough people at work that don't accept Jesus as their Savior. All of a sudden, you think it's normal. And God says, you've got to keep rolling it out. You've got to keep purifying yourself because you are pure. It's not I'm pure and then I stay that way. It's a work. It's a process. Right. It's a process. Now, I got a little, there's some things I want to say, but I am pretty much out of time here. Now, so we got two types of holiness. We got a holiness that God gives us and a holiness that we must stand before mankind. I've said this in my preaching on this subject before. The world is tired of hearing about Jesus and they need to see him. They're tired of a church talking about Jesus and never seeing Jesus. They need to be able to see him in you. And that doesn't mean you go around with a bullhorn telling everybody about Jesus. It means you live the word in front of them. Yes. Yeah. I've had someone say, well, how do you witness? What's the greatest witness? Talking about Jesus or living? I'm like, how about both? How about that? We can have both. We can talk about the Lord and we can live it. We should be witnessing, but we should be living the witness as well. Now, 1 John, we already read that God's in him purifies himself even as he is pure. God not only came to save you from your past sins and your future sin, but he came to save you from sinning. Right. Hello?
Yeah.
There's a teaching out there, once you get saved, it's impossible for you to sin. Hogwash.
Right.
Bull junk. The Bible's very clear. Now, let's turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 15. 1 Peter 1:15. Sorry, I should have put that in there. But as he which has called you is holy. Who's holy? God is holy. Underline that if you have your Bibles, highlight it, whatever you do. So be, now this is interesting, this word be here is ginomai, which means becoming. So be or becoming ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is what it's saying. Become holy even as God himself is holy. God, the God that is in me, is there to help me become holy. 1 John 2:1, it says, I am writing you these things that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, I like how that's put. Now I'm telling you, don't sin. God lives on the inside of you and he will cause you not to sin. But if you do sin, how many have sinned since they've been saved? My hand's not up to show you that you should raise your hand. My hand's up because I joined the club. I live in the club, all right? And God says, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So, I want to get to a point of my life where I never fail. I want to get there.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lofty goal. You're right, it is. I'd rather set a lofty goal and miss it than set a low goal and always hit it. Well, I just want to have enough for me and my family. Bless the Lord. I think that's a low goal.
Yeah.
We should shoot high. We should aim high. We should want to bless the kingdom of God more than we've ever blessed it before.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
And so let's make a goal that is high in the Lord. Now, I'm not going to finish this today. We're going to come back to this next week. Because I have way too much to tell you. And I just got, the problem was, I haven't preached in a week. And I feel like I need to preach 2 sermons today. And we can't do that. Can I get an amen? I'm looking right at my wife. Now, I do want you to know something. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe this is it. Maybe you say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you want the Lord to look upon your face, the first step is to accept Him as your Savior. And when you do that, God says, I call your spirit to no longer. Your body is a zombie without me. But just like Adam, God created Adam. And what did He do? He caused Adam's spirit to become alive. He literally breathed His own breath into Adam. And Adam became alive. And God says today, when you accept me as your Savior, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit becomes alive on the inside of you. And you become a son or daughter of God. And this is what's great. You might say, I've never understood the word. Well, maybe your spirit's been dead. The world doesn't understand the things of God. What do they say about prosperity? You get all you can all you can get, and then sit on the can. You know, get as much as you can and make sure you don't share none of it. And God says, be a giver. Goes against, how can that be? How can I give and still, you know, go after being wealthy and good in the world and be established? God says it's possible. It's different than the way the world would do it. So maybe some people don't understand the word of God because their spirit isn't alive. But once you accepted Jesus as your Savior, your spirit becomes alive now and you become holy instantly. Yeah. You become holy instantly. Now that does not mean you still, if you did drugs, you might still be very tempted to go out and might have done drugs right after you accepted Jesus as your Savior. It doesn't mean that you're perfect and holy instantly. Right. But you got to take that holiness that's on the inside of you and work it out. Work it out. I used to tell people I was going to create a Christian workout video.
Woo!
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, shake that fat till it's almost gone. No. I thought that was funny. You know what I'm going to call the video? Firm Believers. There you go. There you go. I got it all worked out. But when you accept Jesus this morning as your Savior, your spirit becomes alive. You're no longer dead to the things of God. You're no longer dead. And this is what's beautiful. There's nothing you can do to do it except Jesus. Because He says, I don't want man to be able to boast. Isn't it funny? We read the scripture, acquaint yourself to God and glorify that. Don't work out and show your muscles and say, oh, I'm glory. I can do everything because of these guns. And then I've seen people, I'm so wealthy, I can do anything I want. Don't glory in that. It's fine to have the wealth. It's fine to have the power. It's fine to be, I'm so smart, I can outsmart everybody. Well, it's fine to have all that, but don't glorify that. Right. Glorify that you know me.
Yes.
That's the greatest thing. So this morning, we're going to give you an opportunity to glorify in the fact that you know the Lord.